what's helping me with that is, yes, I'm in school, but I'm also a part of community organizations and stuff, which are black owned, and I'm part of Running Rebels. It helped me because, like, they keeping it real, basically. They show us what's real. They'll take us to some OGs. They'll spit some to us, you know, tell us their background. And that'll just be it, you know.
You know, the way I have been able to deal with things is to be as involved in community as possible. You know, as some of y'all know, I try to be everywhere. And that, you know what, it sounds like work to some people, but to me, I feed off of it. And not in like a, you know, negative way, but like in the sense of it's something that's empowering to me. The more connected I am to people, particularly, you know, and everybody's our people in some way, shape, or form, but particularly to black folks, particularly to folks who are committed to getting something done. That's another thing that's, I think, important to my character, is that I got to be getting something done, and not just something that's superficial, but something that's lasting, something that's going to have an effect. And in doing that, like I say, it strengthens me and empowers me. And I think, you know, is something that is mutually empowering, you know, in a community setting. And so, you know, that from what I hear, like I say, that makes me sad, but also, you know, lets us know that we got an incredible amount of work to do to make sure that, you know, the young cats coming up behind this young cat ain't, you know, feeling like that.
It's funny because, like, the story that you kind of, like, explained to me, like, the high schools, that's, it's very similar to, like, the schools that I came from in high school in Chicago. So, like, in that situation, it's like you just wonder. It's like, it seems like we're, like, super limited on, like, the things that we can do in a sense. And it's like we're being, like you said, like, babysat in a sense. Like, they really don't have, like, that care. They're just trying to get us to go to the next grade, even if in some cases we might not be ready to move on. And for, like, you get those few students who are able to overcome that, but I feel like the best way to overcome those types of situations is through, like, some of the extra resources outside of the current system that is kind of flawed. So, like what you were saying, like those the extracurriculars and the extra organizations that you be a part of. That's what I had to do when I was coming into the high school. And I didn't know anything about, like, college life. I'm like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Like, what college I'm supposed to go to? Or, like what can I do, like, with these grades? Like, what am I supposed to do with, like, these resources, these financial resources and all that? And I didn't have any of those things, so I had to, like, look for it outside of those cycles. I got personally lucky, you know, from high school areas, because I was able to join a couple of those college preparatory programs that I heard about, like the Upward Bound, and they kind of gave me that light, and they kind of exposed me to, like, those different resources, those different opportunities that can, like, actually benefit me. So, like, I never, like, even got out the state of Illinois. I was able to, you know, see HBCUs for the first time, travel outside the state, and it's like, and it was because of those extra resources. So I feel like, and that's how I kind of think about it now, like, that I'm in this medical school. Like, when there's, like, limitations or things put on you or placed on you, and, you know, this negativity is coming from you, from, like, these professors not believing you or not really caring for you and, like, putting you as another statistic, it's like I look towards outside of that specific system. And in Wisconsin so far, I mean, what I like to do, like, what I had to do when I was in high school, I had to go into, like, the boxing aspect. So I did a little amateur boxing, and that's how I kind of let my steam off. But at the same time, and it's Cream City Boxing is what I do now. I know I'm a boxing coach. Like, what those resources lead you, and since it does lead you to opportunities, but it leads you to a different type of quality too. So, like, the boxing aspect, for example, it led me to, like, better discipline in myself and sticking to, like, the goals. Like, if you got a goal, you got to stick to it. Like, once you boxing, you got to train, you got to work hard. You can't give up. Even if you get knocked down, I got knocked down a couple of times. I had to get right back up. I had to work my butt off to win those fights. And that's how that boxing aspect taught me about life. But in a sense, like I said, I feel like you just need to go to your outside. You need to look to, like, I guess, outside resources. But it's crazy how limited we are. You know, like, the system is so limited. It's so against us. It's so crazy that we have to even go to those outside sources. The system definitely needs to be changed, I think, when it comes, especially when it comes to, like, the black men and because it's not for us. It's like, it's against us, man.
Well, and you know, that's, and quickly, I just want to say, you know, that's why we need to build a new one. And even if it's, you know, from local to whatever level, you know, I think it's important to say this and not just to be, you know, just to focus on that. But this is a majority Black city, a supermajority city of color, and we have yet to act like it. And what I mean by that, you know, there's Milwaukee, you would never know this. And like one of the things I always got asked, you know, I still get asked that is when I go other places, is that, oh my God, there are Black people there? It's like, not only are there Black people there, it's one of the Blackest cities in the country. And, you know, not only that, how many people here actually even know that? Like, when you go and tell a person, it's like, do you know Milwaukee's 40% Black? Milwaukee's Blacker than Chicago. For real, no joke. And so all that being the case, and as you said, there's a lot of different systems, you know, some of it that, you know, was instituted before we were here, but a lot of things that have, you know, systematically kind of coalesced to destroy and hold back some of the things that we need and had. But that still isn't an excuse for us to, as you say, you know, in the boxer parlance, you don't quit. And a matter of fact, you know, you fight even harder because if we've gone through and our people have gone through as much as they have and still we sitting here with Taryn in a radio studio talking about life, you know, that sounds like that's some like Avengers type stuff to me. Like, you know, they threw you in the middle of the sun expecting you to melt and here we are. And so that just gives me not only more hope, and despite everything we go through individually, but, you know, it just gives me that much more of a gumption and a, that's an old people word, I'm sorry, a gumption and a desire to build the community because, you know, buildings don't stand up with one column. No matter how strong the column is, you still need multiple of them to hold this building up. And so it's the same with community. You got to have the economic pillar. You got to have the engagement pillar. You got to have the, you know, the youth being engaged and the mentoring and all that stuff. And if you don't, you know, it's very difficult, you know, to kind of move forward. And so that's what we got to rebuild.
First of all, I think the city of Milwaukee, and it's not reflective of just this city. I think just across the country, there's a lack of sensitivity for the Black male's mind, body, and soul. Mm-hmm. And I would even go take it a step further. And there's a lack of sensitivity, or even sacredness to his personal space, to his community. You know, you hear about these incidents that occur with the Milwaukee Police Department, with cavity searches and things of that nature, where it's easy to disrupt, disfigure, torture the Black male body. I do community and economic development, and the first thing people would tell you is that your neighborhood is better once a young white lady can walk your neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So you go to everything else, if a brother gets shot or killed, you know, go to jail, but your neighborhood is better once a young white lady feels safe. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't some realities there that we could focus in on, but what I am saying is that America itself hasn't really been able to figure out how we make sure that we respect the Black male body. It's not there just for entertainment and to be gestures. I think it was Dr. Claude Anderson and Jerry that we were talking about earlier who mentioned that only thing they were good for is producing sweat, playing basketball, playing some type of sport, entertaining people. People don't see us outside of that. And that's, I think that leads to a lot of issues within how do we then, if our, not only external factors as far as people outside our community, but then our own community then takes cue. Well, if no one's gonna respect you, I'm not gonna respect you. And so we have this where our bodies don't mean as much, our physical space, who we are as a, it just, oh well.